All right, we're going to take items 6 and 7 together, Madam City Clerk.
Okay. Item 9.1, 9.2 on the non-consent calendar. Going back to item 6. Receive a report from Oakland Police Department detailing the civilization of internal affairs, including the fiscal impact, effects on the negotiated settlement agreement, timeline for implementation, and areas of consensus and disagreement with the mayor's task force on police issues. You have 14 public speakers on item.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Lieutenant Shannon, the Oakland Police Department, Internal Affairs Division. Again, I'm here to offer the department's response to the report by the Mayor's Task Force on Police Issues regarding the civilianization of the intake process of the Internal Affairs Division. Reports been issued by the police department covers its view on some of the specific points of civilianization, but let me begin by stating that the department disagrees with both the actions requested by the mayor's task force. Specifically, the council should not allocate $1.2 million to hire 10 civilian CPRB investigators, and hence the council should not direct Acting Chief Jordan to redeploy 10 IAD officers. The mayor's task force has proposed that IAD should be closed to citizens who wish to file complaints, and an alternative created by spending $1.2 million. This is based in part on a perceived mistrust by citizens of the Oakland Police Department. And this was based on a 2005 survey of residents that found only 1 in 10 who had a negative experience with the Oakland Police Department filed a complaint. The mayor's task force believes the CPRB is the agency to fix this problem. However, according to the CPRB's own 2007 annual report, the number of complaints has stabilized beginning in 2005 at approximately 79 complaints filed per year. I have not seen their 2008 report, but I believe it was 88 for 2008. This is despite the quote-unquote extensive community outreach projects in response to the results of the survey. Additionally, every complaint form issued by the police department contains a page about the Community Police Review Board. When citizens receive a closeout letter about their complaint, advising them what the findings were, there's also the Citizens Police Review Board's number on there. And finally, intake officers and supervisors in the field advise citizens of the Community Police Review Board. That's right, the Citizens Police Review Board. Despite all this outreach, their complaints, their intakes have not gone up. In contrast, OPD in the last 3.5 years has come a long way. Following the roadmap provided by the NSA, guidance from the IMT, Judge Henderson, and other parties, the OPD has created policies, procedures, and a culture that's responsive to citizens and provides fair and thorough investigations. The number of intakes has increased by several hundred each year. In fact, 2008 took in twice the number of complaints as in 2005 when the survey was conducted. A citizen can begin a complaint anytime and anywhere with anyone in the department, in person, by phone or letter, by advising the officer with whom they are upset, calling communications, calling the Internal Affairs Division, walking in, sending a letter. There are numerous avenues for citizens to make complaints. And the investigation begins immediately. The supervisor collects evidence, identifies witnesses, takes statements, completes other steps that can be difficult, if not impossible, if one were to wait until business hours and report the complaint. The mayor's task force proposes that IAB should be closed to citizens and residents should be directed to the CPRB to file their complaints. They assert that only a single option will create a quote-unquote user-friendly system. The OPD sees this as a huge step backwards. Compelling officers to tell citizens with a complaint, I can't help you. You have to call the CPRB. I can't help you. My supervisor can't help you. It makes no sense. Limiting citizens to a single way to file complaints will result in a large number of complaints going unreported, and back to the 2005 1 in 10 reporting. The mayor's task force proposal that spending $1.2 million hiring 10 CPRB intake staff persons The proposal that this is adequate to handle the intake of complaints is inherently flawed. The intake of complaints is not done solely by intake officers. The intake of complaints begins with supervisors in the field who collect evidence, identify witnesses, take statements, begin the preliminary investigation. IAD intake officers are not merely doing quote-unquote administrative work, as the Mayor's Task Force asserts in their proposal. IAD intake officers are highly trained investigators that conduct a thorough preliminary investigation of almost every case they handle. If it was just a matter of administrative work, the OPD would use newer officers or police record specialists. Officers attend a six-month academy with courses on search and seizure, law, and other relevant points. They have several years of experience in the field investigating crimes, taking statements from witnesses, victims, and suspects. They attend a school for IAD as well as an interviewing school. As explained in detail in the department's report to the council, the department believes this expertise allows IAD investigators to complete 50% more cases per year than CPRB investigators. Again, IAD intake officers are not just doing administrative work. They bring cases to a conclusion that forward them for further investigation after completing many investigative steps. In the first quarter of 2008, the IAD sent out 74 of the 298 complaints it received, 25%, for investigation by a field supervisor. In the first quarter of 2009, the IAD sent out 88 of 407 complaints, only 22% for investigation by a supervisor. In spite of receiving more than 100 additional complaints the first quarter of this year, IAD officers kept those complaints, handled them, and kept supervisors on the streets supervising officers. Investigations by intake officers include interviews, perhaps the most essential and important part of an internal affairs investigation for identifying the allegation, the witnesses, the evidence, the scope of the investigation. They conduct research for reports of law enforcement databases, whether or not the incident was in compliance with laws, court decisions, and the department's policies and procedures. Finally, they complete documentation and reports that provide sound reasoning and analysis for findings that will meet the muster of the chief, city administrator, IMT, and auditing. IAD intake officers are not college students working at Photoshop. They are professional investigators upholding the integrity of the department and the city. In contrast, the Mayor's Task Force report does not address who will be handling the investigation of the over 1,800 complaints expected to come in this year. The $1.2 million will only cover the intake of complaints, not the investigation of them. The two investigators assigned to the CPRB currently handle approximately 40 cases apiece and often complete an investigation based on work by OPD. For example, according to the 2007 annual report, the CPRB requested 209 interviews of officers. However, they completed less than half of those interviews, only 91. The other 118 interviews, they depended on the department for those interviews. Even assuming the proposed intake staff persons can complete the same 40 cases apiece, which the CPRB believes it can hire for 20% less than its current investigators, it would take 45 investigators to handle the 1,800 cases it will receive. The current proposal does not address where these 33 additional investigators will come from or how they will be funded. As detailed in the department's report, the proposal has made other omissions and false assertions in their calculations, such as 20 CPRB staff would cost the city the same as 8 IAD officers. An officer fully funded, fully burdened, it's just over 166,000. The current complaint investigator twos are 128,000. Even the proposed complaint investigator ones are 95,000. This is not half of what an officer is. Ultimately, the Mayor's Task Force proposal is incomplete and does not account for all costs. The assertion that within 3 years, the startup costs will have been offset by the cost savings is simply inaccurate. The Mayor's Task Force proposal also is not in compliance with the NSA. The proposed is new intake persons would be trained to conform to the standards established by the NSA. However, the simple premise of limiting complaints to being handled by the CPRB is inherently flawed. Such a rule would not be in compliance with the NSA. The NSA requires the complaint process to begin immediately so that complaints are not lost, so that evidence is not lost, witnesses do not disappear, people do not forget. Ultimately, any changes to the NSA will require the consent of the plaintiff's attorneys and approval by the court, and history has shown that to be a time-consuming and expensive process. In conclusion, while changes to the complaint process were needed in 2005, those changes were already in progress due to the NSA, which began in 2003. In the last 3.5 years, the OPD has created a system for handling complaints that leads are responsive and fair to citizens. Removing the intake of complaints from IAD, a vital piece of that system, will jeopardize everything that has been accomplished. The Mayor's Task Force and CPRB have made it clear that they wish to completely civilianize the intake, investigation, and resolution of complaints through a ballot initiative in June 2010. While the citizens of Oakland may one day agree to a comprehensive reworking of the handling of complaints, it does not make sense to spend $1.2 million now to begin the process with a clear plan that accounts for all costs. As an example of potential consequences, you need look no further than San Francisco, where the Office of Citizen Complaints was given unprecedented authority to handle citizen complaints. In 2007, 6 years into the process, the San Francisco City Services Auditor found numerous problems with the system, including the fact that officers were not disciplined due to missed deadlines. In fact, the OCC's 2008 annual report noted that 19% of sustained cases were submitted to the chief 365 days or later. This is after the legal requirements of 3304 of the government code, which means discipline cannot be imposed. In contrast, 6 years into the NSA, the IMT noted in their most recent report, the 12th annual status report, that in light of the significant progress that is being made in these areas, in our view, OPD will soon attain full compliance if it continues its efforts and adopts the recommendations made in our review reports. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, who's going to give the other report from the Mayor's Task Force? Rashida, are you going to?
You don't want to hear public comment on that report first?
No, I want to take both of them together.
Okay.
And then take public comment. Yeah, I'm taking both items together.
Okay, let me read item 7 into the record. Item 7, action on a report from the Mayor's Task Force on Police Issues titled Request for the City Council to allocate not less than $1.2 million in the 2009-2011 budget to hire 10 CPRB staff persons to receive citizen complaints against Oakland police officers and redeploy 10 IAD officers to other positions within OPD. You have 27 public speakers on the item.
All right, thank you.
Hello, everybody. My name is Eric Cisneros, and I am the convener of Mayor's Police Issues Task Force since basically his election in June of 2006. A little history here. In November 2006, oh, by the way, it's my signature on the bottom of the report. In November 2006, People United for a Better Oakland Pueblo convened a diverse group of 9 community residents to discuss the findings of a recent report on resident experiences with policing in Oakland, California. This unprecedented grouping of community leaders included representatives from local business associations, the environmental movement, policy advocacy, criminal justice, youth empowerment, and community organizing and service organizations. This group, diverse in terms of gender, age, and race, ethnicity, met twice to review the study and its implications and to craft recommendations to the mayor and city council regarding actions needed in response to the findings. The focus of the meetings was a major new study entitled Focus, Oakland Policing Survey. This study, conducted by Sonoma State University Professor Tyron Woods, the leading scholar in criminology and criminal justice, examined data collected by Pueblo in partnership with the Oakland City Attorney, Manager's Office, and Police Department. In that same fall of 2006, 41 task forces in 9 areas began work on policy recommendations to be in place by Mayor Dellum's inauguration in January of 2007, about 4 months. After this proposal was adopted by the task force, phase 2 involved the Police Issues Task Force being tasked to develop an implementation plan for the proposal. Toward that end, our task force, 2 members of our task force, Jeff Collins and Nick Vigilante, worked on implementation plans for the proposal to establish an internship recruitment program at Peralta College. I believe it was Laney. And at the same time, Mary Vale, Rashida Grenache, and myself agreed to work on the plan to implement this civilianizing proposal. We approached Chief Tucker and formed a working group made up of then Public Safety Director Lenore Anderson, then Chief of Police, OPD Chief Tucker, and Rashida, Mary, and myself. We began to meet. The goal of the working group was to establish a cost-efficient, effective, credible, independent, and accessible civilian oversight of police. Later, the working group would expand to include Sean Quinlan and Patrick Caceres from the Citizens Police Review Board, CPRB, as well as a succession of City Hall staffers, including Leslie Littleton from the Mayor's Office, Interim Public Safety Coordinator Arnold Perkins, as well as current Public Safety Coordinator Dora Lister Reed. OPD staff rotating in and out included Deputy Chief Lohman, Lieutenants Ed Paulson, Chris Shannon, and Sean Wendt of Internal Affairs, and Sergeant Michael Poiret. Sorry if that's I'm pronouncing correctly. He's the Chief of Staff. Ongoing conversations, historical information, and support has been given by City Attorney John Russo, negotiated settlement agreement, independent monitoring team, as well as the plaintiff's attorneys, Mr. Burris and Mr. Channon. After unfortunate occurrences, including new information on the Chauncey Bailey and Oscar Grant III killings, members of the working group met with all city council members except President of the Council, Bruner. And we were very pleased with the enthusiastic reaction we received to this proposal. And that's pretty much where we are now. We wrote up the report, turned it in on time, and here we are.
Thank you, Rashida. Is there anything you want to add?
Yes, I'd like to present the report.
He just gave the
history of it. We'd like to propose that you direct staff to identify funding in no less than $1.2 million to hire 10 Citizens Police Review Board intake staff so as to be able to close internal affairs to citizens' complaints and redirect them. And there are 3 primary benefits to this. One area of benefit is economic. What you have now is a duplicative system where 2 different agencies are doing the same job. Both agencies intake citizens' complaints and follow up on them and eventually investigate them and come to findings. As you know, it is far more cost effective to have a civilian doing that job than a sworn officer, particularly as was pointed out in the previous report, particularly because these are not novice investigators or at OPD. They are experienced OPD sworn officers, which means their pay scale is higher, and in addition to which they get paid overtime, which the CPRB staff does not. So in general, they cost probably about twice as much. Patrick Caceres is here with the exact figures, and I hope you will call upon his expertise for those. So it costs far less to have citizens investigating complaints than sworn officers investigating complaints. It's that simple. It supports, our proposal supports crime reduction by, first of all, matching the skills of the officers who are now, as we just heard, experienced investigators, and redeploying them to investigate not citizen complaints, but crime. We believe paid at the scale they are, trained at the level they are, they should be fighting crime. They should be promoting public safety, not sitting at a desk and investigating citizen complaints. The doing this will allow you to basically fill 10 vacant positions, either in patrol or in criminal investigations. You remember the Harnett Associate Report pointed out that you were woefully understaffed in the Criminal Investigation Division area. You could fill 10 vacancies without the additional $150,000 it would cost you to fill those by hiring new personnel. In other words, to have to recruit, screen, train, put through the academy costs, by Mr. Shannon's estimate, $150,000 per, or by somebody's office. It may not be Mr. Shannon, but somebody at OPD gave us a figure of $150,000 of associated costs with bringing a new officer into the Oakland Police Department. That doesn't count their salary once they're hired. So here you're getting 10 vacant positions fully staffed with experienced officers in crime reduction. And all you have to do in exchange is spend $1.25 million, and you're getting well over $2.5, probably upwards of $3 million worth of staffing at those critical positions in OPD. Community benefit. As it was pointed out, yes, it's a simple system. Citizens don't have to choose whether to file here or file there, especially without being fully informed as to the differences. We had a Citizens Police Review Board meeting in February, and a member of the public came to this podium and said, what we need in Oakland is a Citizens Police Review Board. They were talking to the board. They didn't even know that that was the Citizens Police Review Board. So there is a huge level of unawareness in the community that there is a choice. And frankly, Internal Affairs doesn't tell people that there is a choice. That's one reason they have many more complaints. Only when someone is dissatisfied with the disposition of an Internal Affairs complaint are they then told, well, you can go to the CPRB. Now, that brings up another problem. When people are referred to the CPRB or go to the CPRB after being unhappy with Internal Affairs, by then, CPRB staff has only a little time to do their own investigation prior to the running of 3304, which you just heard about before. So in other words, unless the CPRB is the first agency to receive that complaint, they're not going to have a full year to investigate before the statute expires. Another very important issue is reporting. As you know, the CPRB is required to report out to the public twice a year, and to you twice a year, with statistics, trends, where complaints are coming from in terms of district, in terms of ethnicity, who's filing complaints, in terms of the nature of the complaint. You never hear reports from Internal Affairs about the complaints filed by citizens. Internal Affairs processes 800 complaints approximately a year. CPRB 80. So what you're hearing from the CPRB in their reporting is a tiny percentage of all of the complaints that have been filed in the city of Oakland. So you're hearing data that represents 80 complaints as opposed to the additional 800 complaints that you're not hearing anything about. That data goes completely underground. And you don't hear about it, the public doesn't hear about it, and therefore there is no oversight over the vast majority of that data and no ability to take corrective action. Again, one of the functions of the CPRB is policy recommendation. So they're making policy recommendations based on the 80 complaints they receive as opposed to the 800 complaints that go to internal affairs that they don't see or that they're not reporting on. So again, their mission of being able to make policy recommendations based on the nature of the complaints that are driven is extremely inadequate because they are only getting a small percentage. Why are they getting a small percentage? Well, in the first place, they are woefully underfunded. Right now, as you can see, there is no director here. They have two investigators. They should have eight. So, yes, a lot of remedial action is needed if this review board is to survive, period. Especially in terms of the fact that right now it is performing a duplicative function and you are facing a budget shortfall, there's every reason to think that the council might just say, well, we don't need to have this agency after all. We already have internal affairs. And we're already putting 5 to 6 times the number of resources into that agency than we are CPRB. What we're saying is if you have to choose an agency, if we want it to be the Citizens Police Review Board. We want independent, credible oversight by civilians over our police department, just as the people who are demanding that BART have an independent oversight system put in place. We deserve no less, we have had no less, and we will have no less. And the way to accomplish that is to simply change the structure so that citizens file their complaints with this agency, they staff up to receive those complaints, and you reassign IAD officers. We know that you're facing a budget shortfall. We are recommending that you direct staff to investigate all of the funding opportunities that may be available. Let's face it, $1.2 million in the face of the many, many, many millions of dollars that you are applying in grant money for is very, very doable and certainly consistent with the overall mission of public safety in Oakland. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms.
And we'd like you to call Joyce.
Yes,
and,
Thank
you. And Jim Channon, if you would, please.
Okay. I'm going to call the 40 public speakers for items 6 and 7. Joyce Hicks, Rakia J., Shane, Kelly Abraham, Derek Ortez, Rashida Minaj, Jim Channon, Christoph, Paulette Hogan, Sanji Honda, Mary Bell, Gregory Fields, Frank Ross, James Endell. James Endell, they have two cards. Christoph, Eric S., Sanji Honda, Susanna Garcia, Kelly Abraham.
All right, just let the ones you call come speak, okay. And then call the other one. Thanks.
Good evening, Chairperson.
Welcome home.
Thank you. It's good to be here. And good evening to members of the Public Safety Commission. I am Joyce Hicks, former director of the Citizens Police Review Board and current director of the San Francisco Office of Citizen Complaints. I was hired by Mayor Gavin Newsom to address the issues that were raised in the 2007 Controller's Report. Which was titled Organizational Issues and Poor Case Management Degrade the Quality of Investigations in the San Francisco Office of Citizen Complaints. So in the 17 short months that I have directed that office, we have addressed several of those issues. And one of the differences between an Office of Citizen Complaints, a civilianized internal affairs division, if you will, and an internal affairs division is transparency. The lieutenant spoke to you about issues with sustained reports. And that is because we have a website where we post quarterly reports, an annual report, and I addressed the issue of late sustained reports in the 2008 annual report. But what the lieutenant failed to advise you of is that there is a first quarter 2009 report where the OCC has turned around all of its sustained cases in the first quarter in less than 365 days. As a matter of fact, 54% of them within 9 months. Now, the Oakland Police Department's Internal Affairs Division has made several changes, but over a period of 6 years, with the Office of Citizen Complaints, it's been 17 months.
Is there someone you want to give Ms. Hicks some more time?
Erica.
Thanks, sir.
Additionally, I will say that the OCC operated with only 12 investigators last year. We now have 17 fully trained investigators, and by charter, we are authorized to have one investigator for every 150 police officers. So we have a floor of 16 investigators. But I'm not here to defend the San Francisco Office of Citizen Complaints this evening. I'm here to urge this committee to adopt a model of civilian oversight of police for Oakland that can result in a more effective and efficient investigation of civilian complaints against Oakland police officers. The mayor's task force on police issues has presented you with the beginnings of such a model. It is an intermediate model between what currently exists in Oakland with its Citizens Police Review Board and what exists in San Francisco. The proposal is quite modest in that it calls for a $1.2 million budget for, with 14 staff members. In San Francisco, the OCC, Office of Citizen Complaints, does not duplicate internal affairs. It is in place of internal affairs for the investigation of civilian complaints of police misconduct. It is an independent office which does not report to the police department, but instead to the police commission. In less serious discipline matters, the OCC forwards its findings to the police chief for her final determination. The average cost per case at the OCC, given the $3.9 million budget and the receipt of over 1,000 complaints a year, is $3,900. The OCC has a 35-member staff, 21 of whom are investigators, and over a quarter of them have former law enforcement background that they could never have served on the San Francisco police force. The point of having a separate civilian oversight mechanism is to provide objectivity to the process of reviewing civilian complaints. You don't have buddies investigating buddies. Moreover, studies have shown that some officers are not as objective as they could be in investigating use of force complaints and in making, and police departments have not been very effective in making policy recommendations. While I value different forms of civilian oversight, California civilian oversight...
Excuse me, Joyce, I hate to keep interrupting you. Someone else wants to...
Okay, one of my comments. I have two. There are two items.
Go ahead, Joyce.
Okay. We'll get through this. I'm almost there. I do value different forms of civilian oversight. The California civilian oversight agencies took a blow in 2006 with the Copley decision. As you are aware, the Copley decision eliminated the public process in police discipline matters. The public process was an important process that boards such as the Citizens Police Review Board performed. While the CPRB continues to perform important functions in civilian oversight of the police, the concept that you have before you would expand the jurisdiction of the CPRB and provide an important service to the citizens of Oakland. Finally, I understand that the negotiated settlement agreement has specific and technical requirements. The CPRB would be able to meet them with proper training, just as the OCC investigators go to post-internal affairs division training and several months of training, CPRB investigators could do the same. The proposal by the police department to assign civilian investigators to the Internal Affairs Division is not civilian oversight. To conclude, Oakland has a 30-year history of civilian oversight of its police department. However, it has never been appropriately funded, as articulated by Ms. Grenage. We're now in the 21st century, and it's time to provide the Citizens Police Review Board with the resources it needs to provide more effective oversight of the Oakland Police Department. I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Speakers, if you have more than one speaker card submitted for item 6 or 7, please state that for the record.
My name is Christoph. I have two cards submitted. I have a card for item 6 and 7. Before you begin,
okay.
Can I ask a question? I would, with all due respect to the council people,
you're going to be on the clock, so you can ask your questions as part of your 4 minutes. So start the clock, Madam City Clerk.
I will ask that, with all due respect to the council people, I came here to give public comment. It's my understanding that it's your job to receive it, and I would appreciate if you would do that rather than paying attention to your cell phones and texting or surfing the web. I find that to be
disrespectful. Can you just speak, please? You and your time.
I understand that. Right. I'm asking for respect. I took time out of my schedule to come here and address you. I'm asking you to give me some respect.
You and your clock.
I would like to agree with Councilperson Reed that we should stop the insanity. Different sort of insanity, perhaps. I just watched Lieutenant Shannon insult the committee's intelligence. I think we're all aware that IAD agents and investigators are not college students working in Photoshop.
Thank you.
But who are they? Do we know who Captain Paulson is, or was, up until recently, former head of internal affairs? And what is the job of internal affairs? To investigate police who commit crimes or other wrongdoing or misconduct. Now, Captain Paulson did what is about one of the worst things a person or a police officer can do. He beat a man and caused his death. That's homicide. Captain Paulson, head of internal affairs. That's a real bad apple. That's a real problem in the OPD. And I'm interested in whether or not he spoiled the whole bunch. I'm concerned that OPD is rotten to the core. And I wonder, and I hope that you wonder, how many officers in OPD knew what Captain Paulson did. How many of them knew who he was when they promoted him? Did Lieutenant Shannon know what his superior had done? Because we know that at least 11 other officers in the OPD knew for sure, because they were fired when they complied with his instructions to cover up his actions. And this is the head of internal affairs, an agent of which is here asking you to trust them to civilianize the OPD. One of the things in their report, if you read it carefully, they want to have OPD, internal affairs officers, supervise civilian police review. Captain Paulson supervised the civilians who are supposed to supervise the police. Now, I want to ask, how bad does OPD have to mess up in order to lose our trust, your trust, because they have lost the public trust. It's not a perceived mistrust of the police. That trust is gone. That's a problem. But how bad do they have to screw up to lose your trust, to get you to roll up your sleeves, to get you to address the issue? Because the situation with Paulson reflects on the entire department. The entire department failed. It installed him in the position of being on top of the investigative body that was responsible for preventing misconduct at OPD. So it can't be fixed from the inside. And it wasn't long ago that Lieutenant Shannon, who was here, called Captain Paulson, his supervisor.
Your time is up.
So I'll finish with this. We know what Captain Paulson did. When Lieutenant Shannon says that every police...
Your time is up. You spoke for me. Somebody wants to give you more time.
Okay.
Your name?
So when Lieutenant Shannon suggests that it's important that civilians, there's this issue of civilians being able to approach the police. It's really important to have this situation where if I have a problem with a police officer, I just come up and tell him. Well, in the case of Captain Paulson, with all due respect and not much is due, we don't want help like that. The whole reason we want independence and we want civilians investigating the police is because stories like this keep coming out. It's a huge issue. It's not perceived mistrust. This is a documented fact. You, the city government, fired 11 officers because of this. They're not going to clean it up themselves. They screwed up way too bad. And it's insulting to your intelligence and insulting to our intelligence to have the police in here asking you to trust them and give them another chance when the department promoted one of the worst to the post responsible for overseeing criminal misconduct in the police department.
First of all, calling Hogan for the record, I would like to acknowledge Diane, what's your last name?
Marks.
Marks, who is the godmother of Oscar Grant, who is here with us tonight. I don't take it lightly that she is here. Surely she is here for the very reason that I am here. I only have a few questions for the officers that are here from Internal Affairs. I have to ask you, with the trouble at hand, how far are you willing to travel in the community to make a difference? Secondly, I want to know, how committed are you to teach and train a younger person to do your job? Thirdly, I want to know, are you willing to take persecution for within your rank and file for standing up for what is right, as Brother just talked about it? Fourthly, do you believe that change is possible in the city of Oakland? I would thank you for the good job that you're doing. But after I sat in the office with the IED after I was tased, I felt like I had tased the police officers. When they got through questioning me, I felt like I should just put my hands out and let them take me on to jail. Because they questioned me like they were trying to cover for their buddy. And so I want to say tonight, before I believe your lies, because you made excuses tonight for why we should not have a civilian oversight, I want to tell you we need a civilian oversight committee. I want to tell you that I want to thank CRPB, the Citizens Police Review Board, because I went to them first, and then they sent their record to you. I've been to you all 4 times to find out what's happening with my case, and you all still haven't made a move.
We need one car.
So I said to them when I went back this 4th time, what's happening with my case? They can't even tell me what's happening with my case. They can't tell me what's going on with my case. You know what they tell me? I've got up to a year. I don't want to hear I got up to a year. How much time do you need to find out that I was in my bedroom, unarmed, tased by police officers who came into my house were unwelcome, and I still am trying to get it.
The police report is here in this room. The police report says that I was unarmed. The police report doesn't say that I had a weapon or anything, but I can't seem to get you to discipline that officer. This is not the first time an officer has been out of order in my home. The first time an officer was out of order in my home, I asked for that officer to come back and see me. And when that officer came back to see me, he had an attitude, so I asked him, along with the IAD officer, who is Jeff Wood, to leave my home. Because if you're not going to have a better attitude, you know what happened to that officer? He's still on the street today. And I feel sorry for anybody who has to run into him. Because he has a nasty attitude. Yes, we need citizens' oversight. And so, in the spirit of Oscar Grant, I ask you all again, when are you going to make it possible for citizens to really be heard in the city of Oakland?
Gregory Fields, I have one card, and if someone will speak up when I need them, I'm sure they will if I need the time. Good evening, panel. I'd like to first say the most single person in the entire criminal justice system is the cop on the street. Why? He's the person in the whole process that can summarily execute you. The chief of police can't do it, doesn't have the power. The district attorney doesn't have it. The justice, chief justices of the Supreme Court, the United States, doesn't have that power. And neither does the president of the United States. But any cop on the street, out of nowhere, can take your life, deprive you of it, and elected officials and part of the community says it's okay. Well, it is not okay. Mm-hmm. Also, in as much as I would like to be calm, cool, collected, and political, I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to speak from my hip. No pun intended. The lieutenants came up and they spoke about the need to eliminate the civilian board. That's what they said. They need to eliminate this board and allow them to police themselves. That's a problem. It's written by the police, for the police, against the community, that the police are required to police for the performance of their strength, not the community's, not the safety of the community. And they have the Bill of Rights supporting this. They have them.
Derek Fortas, one card.
Your name again?
Derek Fortas.
Thank you. They have the actual Bill of Rights supporting this. A police officer that gets questioned for an investigation through IAD is actually on the clock in the process. He's getting paid to tell why he committed an atrocity. Now, it's not an atrocity when the police are policing the police. Tongue twister. When you come home and someone tells your parent what you did, oh, you get a little in trouble, yeah, but it's not necessarily as severe. The community was supposed to be sending a message. We elected the officials to send the message on our behalf. We elected you to represent us. And for some strange reason, to my personal belief, there seems to be a problem with the fact that if I don't tread lightly, I may not get a particular endorsement. And I want that to be heard.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And we need not have you concerned about your endorsement moreover than you are concerned about the community that you have been elected to serve. Now, if you were the subordinate, I would expect the police to supervise you, but you're not. You're actually the superior. They are the subordinate. And if you can't tell them what to do,
maybe we need someone else. And that's not a problem. And I'll start this campaign. Now, speaking to the issue of the need for the Civilian Review Committee, it is imperative that control and empowerment. Anyone else?
I'll give you my time, Diana Marks.
Thank you. It is imperative that the control and the community becomes empowered again and not afraid to tell what the police do in the community.
That's right.
It is a fight. It's fighting. I wouldn't want to catch or be in the area with any of the police department alone. I want it well lit, and you need to put more lights on the street. I want a camera at every light post. I want audio to protect me from the police. I can stand on the corner with drug dealers and not be afraid. I can be with homeless people and not be afraid. But I am afraid of the Oakland Police Department. They are dangerous people. They have a power that is unprecedented. And it seems to me that the elected officials of this city has sat down so long with your hands under your buttocks, relaxed, contemplating what you should do. I'm not going to ask you a question because we already know the answer. We need to empower the entire community. There was a time, and I'm old enough to tell, there was a time when we had officer friendlies.
Yes.
Children don't know about that. And they can't even begin to fathom the belief or ideal that a police officer can actually be friendly. I had a 13-year-old tell me, who goes to junior high school, that when the security comes to deal with issues at the school, they tase the children. Now, I say take away the guns. Anyone else?
Frank Ross.
Thank you. I say take away the guns. I say take away the tasers. I say take away the billy club. Because the problem does not start, had not started, did not start yesterday. It started with my ancestors. Let's talk about where the police came from. No one wants to do that. We want to sit here and articulate and show that we got our money's worth from college and show that our parents can be proud of us because we came responsible, upstanding citizens. But we have a problem. And no one wants to deal with or address the problem head on. We want to be sensitive. We want to make sure that we articulate it in a manner that which we don't offend. Sometimes that just has to happen. We have an issue here. We have a crisis here. We're talking about all of this emergency preparedness. And most of the people might not even understand that. But it ties into Homeland Security. Who do you think they're going to send when an earthquake hits?
Yes.
The police.
Yes.
Who else is going to come with them? The National Guard. What are they going to do? They're not going to come and see what you need. They're going to come to contain you in the area that you are in.
That's
you
right.
will not be able
That's
to leave.
Right.
And if you get out of order, any of you familiar with posse comitatus, and I know the police are, and some of you politicians should be, the military will have the opportunity to act as police in the community. As it stands right now, it's supposedly against the law. But wait a minute. We had a president, and if I may say, the president said, George Bush was his name, we need to eliminate the axis of evil for the prosperity of this country. Well, anyone else?
Frank Ross.
This is going to be the last time.
Thank you very much. We need.
Let me just say this early this week. This is going to be the last time that I allow someone to exceed their time because I want to hear from the other speakers. So I'm going to give you 2 minutes now, and after that,
okay, I'll wrap it up.
What was the first thing? I see the time.
Frank Ross.
Oh, he just gave it to you.
He had two cards.
We
need to do the very same thing in the city of Oakland. and it starts with the Oakland Police Department. I witnessed an incident Saturday. I was behind a police car. A car was coming in the opposite direction. The police officers made a U-turn and advised the individual to make a right turn off of Foothill onto 48th Street. I made a U-turn a little bit later on so that I wouldn't get a ticket, and I went back to see what it was. I examined that car very thoroughly. In the back of the car, it had an extension sticker from DMV with the number 5 on it. We're not there yet. It also had a vehicle license plate, expiration date, April 09, just happened. There was no license plate in the front of the car. But if I'm served correctly, when there's no license plate in front of the car, and DMV is giving the driver an extended ticket, it justifies the absence of the plate. But the young man was forced to let the officer search him, even though he wasn't on probation, and he didn't have a search and seizure. And you know what the police officer said to him? He said, "You might as well let me go ahead and search your car, because I could really make it difficult for you." That is too much power for any one man. I think we've heard that before.
That's what they say.
I'll concede right there.
Thank you.
James Udell, ceded his time to me. My name is Andrea Pritchett, and I work with Berkeley Cop Watch, and I'm also working with Oakland Cop Watch. And I'm here in support. I've been working with Rashida Grenache from Pueblo for many years. And we actually have some common friends now. I'm here because Berkeley Cop Watch for many years has been receiving calls from Oakland residents about incidents of police misconduct and their concerns. And it's been a difficult choice. You know, that we definitely say, no, don't deal with the internal affairs section, because that's not a credible process, and that may target you, that may subject you to harassment and so forth. That's like putting a bullseye in your head. Many people in the community have come to us telling us about threats, retaliation, etc. So they're scared. Those 800 people who actually dare to file a complaint, I very much believe that that may represent the tip of the iceberg of what's actually going on in Oakland. It's also true that the CPRB is underfunded, is delayed by the police. If the numbers in Oakland, as the police department described, it's very similar to Berkeley, that the Berkeley Police Review Commission, you know, handles about 50, 70 complaints a year. And the police brag that they have so many more complaints. What that really represents is the fact that the Police Review Commission is delayed by the police department, that they're not provided with documents, there's foot dragging in every direction. There's every effort on the part of the police to discredit those civilian processes. Now, it seems very clear that this town, Oakland, in these strained economic times, this town is not big enough for an internal affairs and a civilian process. You're going to have to choose. You're going to have to lay it on the line. So the fundamental question at the end of the day that the people want to know is, who's in charge of this process? Is it the police or is it the people? OPD's credibility is strained, to say the least. If it's not the survey results coming to you, if it's not the unrest in the street that convinces you that you are in a crisis, if it's not the fact that people don't trust the police enough to even cooperate in the solving of crime, what's the point of the police department at this point? That's what people I talk to want to know. And they're not served. They're not protected. Now, you have an opportunity here to take a bold step forward. But the consequences of you not taking that step, I think, are very severe. And I would encourage you to move forward. You've got a choice between, you know, accountability with the CPRB to strengthen, to empower, to give it the funds that it requires, the training. I think it's so disingenuous to listen to the OPD get up here and say how flawed that process is, how inefficient they are, when they are, in many ways, responsible for those delays. So I hope you choose wisely. I know that the committee that was convened with Lenora Anderson, with Rashida, with all those, that was a very esteemed group. And I hope you will trust their findings, and I support the action. I support the allocation of $1.2 million to get that process started. I hope you will be bold and step out forward and set a model for other cities in the country. Thank you.
My name name is Kelly Abraham, and I have items 6 and 7. And I'm here, I represent Oakland Cop Watch for one day. I'm an Oakland resident. So first I want to say that I appreciate the work that Pueblo and Rashida and the others have done and on my behalf, on my friend's behalf, on neighbors and family, and the community's behalf at large. I support and I am in agreement with what Rashida has reported out and what all of the previous speakers have said prior to me standing here. I do not support a duplicate process, and I choose civilian control of the police complaint process. I'm just going to simply close by saying that the bottom line is I don't believe that the police can be trusted to police themselves, and I do not support item 6, and I do support item 7. Thank you.
My name is Mary Vale. I'm the other member of the task force that served both on the police issues task force of the mayor and the working group convened by the mayor's office that had representatives of the police department and CPRB in constant involvement. I was shocked to see the report that was submitted by the police department, and I won't take anyone's time spinning as to why there was a sea change, 360 change towards the consensus proposal that was proposed by the task force and then developed in the working group to start this transition for the hiring of the civilian investigators who would work on intaking all of the complaints. But, for example, no one ever suggested from the task force or from the working group that we were going to civilianize IAB. Instead, we're going to move the portion of IAB's work that consists of investigating civilian complaints from IAB to the intake from the start, all those complaints at CPRB, worked up in preliminary investigation, and ultimately will be investigated, and we will have further recommendations down the road in terms of the staffing at CPRB, but to get that intake process started exclusively. That's it. No one was saying, for example, management's own complaints against officers would be taken away from them, or that we would only have civilians working in IAB. We also did not suggest that the civilian staff work in IAB's office, be supervised by their supervisors, or displace office space that IAB needs. Lastly, and I know there's other people who can address this more directly, there has never been an issue about the ability with the civilianization of the intake to comply with the MSC. Those discussions were held with both the monitors and the attorneys. Everyone, you know, the chief of police then asked the questions. We went out and consulted with them, and we got the heads up from everyone from the city attorney's office, the plaintiff's attorney, the court's monitor. I realize that. Thank you very much.
Can whoever's going to speak, can you please step over the mic? If he's going to see this time,
okay. And training. The department gives the idea that somehow these folks, civilians, that only police, sworn police officers, can do the work. That's crazy. We know from the OCC experience, which I worked for the city of San Francisco for over 25 years, trained investigators are people doing jobs different than being a sworn police officer on the street. And training, proper recruitment for those individuals we're recommending you hire can deal with that, so that the standards required by the NSC that IAB is currently following and the basic work that CPRB is done by qualified investigators. I'm just going to close, but I am shocked given the representations, the deliberative, collaborative, constructive discussions where everybody was contributing, everyone had an open mind, everyone asked their questions, whether they were the mayor's staff, whether they were members of the task force, the police department. This was not some pet project of Chief Tucker. He had folks from IAB, he had other top leaders and his top assistants at most of these meetings, and we came to consensus on these matters. And so to hear these rumors that, you know, the recommendations were not unanimous, and then to see the report that was submitted by the police department, it's misleading as to what occurred, and it raises a lot of red herrings and non-issues, matters that we either were not discussed and they're not proposed or were discussed and resolved, or portrayed as if they were, you know, never resolved, or you know, were issues that were identified but ignored in the proponents of report number 7. And it's not true. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Did you have two cards?
Yeah, I had two. For the record, my name is Shane, and I do have an exception for Oscar Grant Movement and Open Top Box. Before I get started, I'd just like a show of hands. How many people in this room trust that the police will hold themselves accountable? I saw no hands. I agree with Rashida that it is a waste to have an internal affairs department and a civilian review board. The internal affairs department is broken and it's corrupt. If the police held themselves accountable, Patrick Gonzalez, who has killed 2 community members and put 1 in a wheelchair, would not still be out there with a loaded weapon doing work for the OPD. So I urge you to redeploy those 10 IED officers and properly fund the Civilian Public Review Board. And I thank you for that.
My name is Susanna Garcia, and I live in North Oakland, and I attend my NCPC meeting monthly. I try to be a good member of the community, my husband and I. We just recently had a horrible experience with the police department, and I am for getting more civilians involved into reviewing police complaints. As a citizen, as a taxpayer, I think that the $1.2 million, I think you must think of the citizens, the community. With our experience, we would feel very fairly if a civilian would review a complaint or oversee what had happened to us. So I beg you that you consider this, and thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, my name is Jim Chen, and I'm one of the plaintiff's attorneys with John Burris and the NSA. I'm speaking tonight as a resident of Oakland for 20 years, but I do want to... I do want to talk a little bit about the NSA and some of the representations that were made by the Lieutenant Chen. First of all, we take exception that somehow the NSA is impeding or will impede the civilianization of internal affairs or the creation of a new civilian oversight body. We have constantly proposed a civilianization of internal affairs at our meetings. We've had 70 meetings. Actually, it's more like 85 meetings over 7 years. With the command staff of the police department and numerous other meetings. We devoted a whole meeting or a big part of one meeting in November of 2008 to our desire that that civilianization take place. And the reaction then was very different than the reaction in the report. I really was disappointed in the report. I didn't see any crack in the door for civilianization down the line, or even now, just lip service that one day it might happen. I feel today is that day, for all the reasons that have been stated about police having problems policing themselves, but really now because of economic reasons. It's very clear that civilianization will save money. And the all-or-nothing approach that I heard, and it was basically a nothing approach that I heard from the police department tonight, even if you could partially civilianize internal affairs, even if you could change one officer and put that person out in the street and just save the money, period, by hiring a civilian, that would be a good thing. And I didn't hear any proposal for any kind of incremental change coming from OPD or any offer to help you implement something towards civilianization at all. And that's very disappointing. When we appeared before Judge Henderson, we attached as the only exhibit to a recent case management conference that we had. The only exhibit we had was an editorial by John Russo in the Chronicle. Perhaps you have read it, and we agreed with that, and his proposal for civilianization. This does not have to be a confrontational thing or some sort of forced thing. It's a budget saving thing. It's the right thing to do. Right now, you do not have open police relying on the CPRB investigators. We've asked them to do that. We have no power to do that. You have the power to do that. You can do that. Contrary to what you may think, we have no power to force that. I think the worst thing that I heard tonight was that Lieutenant Shannon said history has shown that stipulations to the NSA were time-consuming and an expensive process. Not really sure what he's talking about. Mr. Burris and I were 2 years and 4 months at no cost at all to the city. When our money ran out, we still went to every single meeting and did everything that was called upon us. We have approved many, many stipulations by the Oakland Police Department, including expanding deadlines for them and lowering the percentage where they would pass various tests. And we would be more than willing to help them implement civilianization. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Cameron
Sturdivant. And, when I this is the second time I've been to the Public Safety Committee. And whenever I hear the police address the committee, I'm always shocked. For one thing, when Officer Shannon talked about investigations and finding witnesses and talking to people and investigating them, I can't help but wonder what percentage of that time is directed at the complaint issuing person and their friends and their family and their possessions, and what percentage of that is directed at the police officer. I have a feeling that is probably mostly directed at the person who filed the complaint, and very little investigation, questioning, and further kind of inconvenience happens to the actual officer. But the other thing that he said, which I found quite shocking, was the number 1,800, something about 1,800 complaints. You know, there's another way to reduce that number of complaints, and that's for the police to stop doing things that cause them to be complained about. And that is why respectfully, I would disagree with, in one respect, with the previous speaker who made it more about cost and less about a power or a confrontation, because it is about, in my opinion, a confrontation. It is a confrontation between civilians and the police force. And what we want is for police to be held personally accountable in a system that is investigated by civilians. I wish I worked in a job where I could be reviewed by my buddies who sit next to me as opposed to somebody who would actually have some power to do something. But what we're asking for here and why I'm in support of the CPRB is that we want the police to be controlled. We want there to be constraints on the level of violence that they are allowed to inflict on civilians. We have Jack Bryson and Diana Marks here with us tonight because we know on videotape that when the police feel like they have no constraints on them, that people die. And it's the armed police against our unarmed civilian population that we are talking about, and that's what I would like to say. So please support the CPRB.
Good evening, for the record, I'm Gene Hanson, member of the Oakland Black Caucus. I'm speaking to item number 7 and support of item number 7. But I would like to pose just kind of a question. I'm sure each of you values citizens' participation in this process, do you not? Yes or no? Not yes? Do you value, let me repeat again, do you value citizens' participation, or are we going through an exercise? I assume that you really don't value, or you select when you want to value citizens' participation. Now, I'm of the opinion that we need good cops. And citizens come together. I think it's a misnomer you say this is the mayor's task force recommendation. These are citizens who come together from all over this city and brought forth this recommendation. Now, 92% of the police officers here live outside of this city. They don't have a vested interest. When these complaints are coming forth, they're not made up, but you want to put your head in the sand and act like the citizens don't know what they're talking about. That's criminal. But you can talk about citizen participation and all these other kinds of things, but you don't want to embrace citizens who have varied interests from all over the city who've come together and put forth this recommendation. So I would urge you to support and approve this recommendation on number 7. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Joseph Cartagini. I am speaking for item number 7. And specifically, I'd like to urge everyone here to support the civilian police review process as a first step in really trying to build transparency and trust in the investigations of complaints against the Oakland Police Department. Because I don't know about all of you, but the people that I speak to on the street, when I ask them how they feel about the Oakland Police Department investigating the Oakland Police Department, even if they're from separate divisions, I don't know. It sounds like a little bit of a conflict of interest. And I guess a good analogy would be you're not gonna ask Barry Bonds' trainer to investigate whether or not Barry Bonds was doping. Right? I don't think so. So one of the things that was said earlier was that the process of building such a civilian police review department would cost much more because the civilian police reviewers lack some sort of training in this process. I think that sounds elitist at best. Another thing that was said that it would take 45 reviewers to handle the 1,800 complaints that were filed just in the year 2008. Well, I say hire them. 45 is a lot better than 10. And that builds a lot more transparency and trust, hopefully trust, that is severely lacking in this department. And lastly, I would like to say that if you did hire or start a civilian police review board, that the number of complaints would increase because I am of the opinion, and I've heard others say, that they do not file complaints because they are discouraged by the process and do not believe that it's going to actually happen, that their complaints are actually being investigated. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Rakia, Eric Fortes, David, Tony Coleman, Troy Regan, Malachiah Garza, Rashida Bernage, Janice, Vildred Dawson, Gwen Hardy, and that's it.
All right, any of those names that were called, if you can please step to the mic. Ms. Bernage has already spoken, so.
Yeah, but I'd like to see my time to Patrick Caceres, because really some misstatements of fact were made that need to be corrected.
All right, so anyone whose name that they call, can you please step come to the mic, please?
My name is David. Well, first I want to just put an objection out there that
The police were able to object to the proposal before the proposal was presented. That seems completely illogical to me and funny business, and it speaks to the favoritism that we're trying to correct here. Community faith in the Oakland Police Department is near, if not at, an all-time low for two reasons. The first one is many in the community have no faith in police because they believe police are unaccountable to the public. Oakland police have shot 45 people over the last 5 years. One officer shot and killed two citizens last year, and he's on paid vacation. No discipline whatsoever. Another officer in the last couple years has killed two citizens and paralyzed a third. No accountability. He's still on the force, patrolling around. It's not surprising to know that these two officers go without being disciplined, as well as the other cops who shot 45 people over the last 5 years. It's not a coincidence in our racially diverse city that not one single of those people who were shot were white. It's not an accident. And it's not surprising when you've got people like Paulson running internal affairs. These aren't just statistics. There are people of color in Oakland who have been abused and murdered by the Oakland police. And the community is well aware, having lost many friends, neighbors, family members over the years. People know this. It's out there. These aren't like some, you might see them, you know, on a little report, but they know this from personal experience. That's why they have little faith in the OPD. The second reason that a lot of people have little faith in OPD is the low crime solve rate. Far too many murders and other violent crimes are not solved. I believe this proposal speaks to both of those, and that's why I'm in support of number 7.
Thank you.
If you're not going to give Mr. Caceres some, I'll give him 2 of my minutes. For the record, I'm Sanjeev Honda, East Bay News Service. I just want to touch on 4 points. The first one is to remind you that back when the first and second community policing task forces were formed under the guise of Open Sharing Division, there were considerable back and forth discussions, and much of those discussions have been lost in history because the city administrator's office lost the files that OSD transferred when it ceased to exist as an organization. We know they existed. We know Gilda Gonzalez had them in her possession when I did a public records request. I went to the storage site on Poplar, but 9 boxes were there. They never got produced, and they just simply disappeared. And unfortunately, that's what happens with a lot of records in this city. On the Copley case, it is clear that, to some degree, it is the interpretation of the Oakland City Attorney's Office that is at the root of the problem. And there are other jurisdictions and some members of the CPRB that have stated they do not agree with that interpretation. But unfortunately, they're bound by what that interpretation is. So the whole process of the police review has gone into closed session meetings. The third thing to point out is that as you look at both sides of this, I want to raise again the issue that these task forces that are out there, are they officially sanctioned by the mayor's office, or are they offshoots of original task forces that continue to meet? If they are sanctioned by the mayor's office, they're using city facilities, all of that constitutes sanction. They need to post a notice of meetings and open them up to the public. They need to post agenda 72 hours in advance. Not a single task force of the 41 remaining task forces after the first couple fell by the wayside starting in early 2007 have ever done that. And the fourth area is that it is most unfortunate that when the Reuters case was happening, I was going to community meetings where people were standing up and thought it was the job of the police to beat up people. A couple of members of the Community Policing Advisory Board actually went so far as to say that that's exactly what the police was supposed to do. They were supposed to go after these suspects or some of the worst terms that they used. And that board collapsed under its own weight because those people got vested in their own power. That board had exceeded its authority. They had existed for more than 6 years, which was the limit that they had on their terms. And some of the members served 9 to 10 years. The city attorney had to shut them down and start all over.
Thank you, Mr. Harrington. Rashida, who did you want to?
Patrick Caceres, please.
Patrick, you want to come to the mic?
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Patrick Caceres. I'm the acting executive director of the Citizens Police Review Board. I basically did not sign out a speaker card because I wanted the council to objectively weigh in on this issue and receive community support. You don't see any board members here that are providing additional input. But I was asked to come up to basically clarify some confusion regarding some of the numbers that were presented by Internal Affairs. The number that was shared is 1,800 for the number of citizen complaints that they received. I'm currently looking at the 2008 annual report, and if you count all of the complaints that they investigated, it only comes out to 1,445. And that also includes non-civilian complaints. That includes complaints that are internally generated, and that also includes use of force investigations. So that number, perhaps there should be some more clarification on that. But I would also like to concede to the police department their point about there needs to be further clarification on this proposal. I agree that there needs to be further clarification, but I would also like to acknowledge that this is definitely the step in the right direction. This is a move towards what I believe is the right way to go about civilian oversight. And in the 5 years that I've worked for the CPRB, it never ceased to amaze me the amount of support that this organization receives when it feels that it's being threatened. Thank you.
Can I ask you a question? Sure. How many complaints did you get last year?
It's about 80.
80?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the number has gone down in the last few years?
Slightly. It's been about that range for the last 4 years.
Thank you.
When he says slightly, he means like less than four, right?
All right. The
average is about 80.
Aaron, please. Chief, did you want to add anything? Lucille, did you want to add anything before we take comments from the council members?
Jeff Israel, Deputy Chief, Oakland Police Department. I think there's clearly a lot of misunderstandings here tonight. One is that the police department does not support civilian oversight.
Thank you.
My issue with this, and I've met with Rashid and some other people, I said long before I went to Internal Affairs, I told Chief Tucker it really should be civilianized for a lot of different reasons, some of which you heard tonight. The problem that I have with item number seven is, as Patrick said, and usually Patrick and I are in agreement also, it just doesn't really clearly lay out any kind of plan for making this happen. I do have issues with the idea that there's salary savings or any savings. For some of the reasons that Lieutenant Chris Shannon spoke of, this is all new money unless you're going to lay off cops and replace them with civilians, and that's a power you have. I, of course, don't support that at all. I do support, if we're going to civilianize, you either have a plan to civilianize in OPD IAD to reduce costs, so again, you switch out non-sworn for sworn to reduce costs, or you go with something, an approach that is talked about in number seven, where CPRB will actually take over the function. When Joy Six was here years ago, when she was the director of CPRB and I was the commander of internal affairs, we met about this very issue. And we went over the costs, and we went over the incredible burden in complying with the settlement agreement, which at that time we were a long way from. And it was my job to comply with the settlement agreement as the commander of internal affairs. It is still a huge challenge for us, as Mr. Shannon, I'm sure, will tell you. No easy task at all. I think, and I spoke to Chief Jordan before coming here, and what I'm telling you is exactly what he said as well. We are in agreement. There are ways to make this work on both sides. I think probably the advantage of going to CPRB completely is what you heard tonight. I think it's probably overwhelming in the community that they would more trust civilian oversight than they do cops investigating cops. Now, having said that, I can tell you I think we do incredibly good investigations. And again, Mr. Channon and Burris will tell you this, particularly around officer-involved shootings. If people really want to know the facts about officer-involved shootings, we presented them to the CPRB once. And from that, a couple other meetings stemmed that I personally attended in the community. And there was a lot of anger in the community about shootings. And not all shootings are good. And when they're bad, there is a process. And as someone said, officers are protected by the Bill of Rights. But we do terminate. When there's a determination that there's an excessive use of force, they are terminated. Someone also spoke about 11 officers being fired regarding Ed Polson's case. Not true. that was a search warrant caper, which, by the way, OPD identified. No citizen came forward. It was a lone sergeant investigating another complaint who identified this as an issue. And I suppose if we're that corrupt, easily could have just tucked it away and nobody ever would have known. Instead, we were incredibly transparent, responding to media inquiries and putting officers on admin leave. And in fact, 11 were not terminated after their procedural bill of rights kicked in and they had their grievance processes, and many of them came back with some level of discipline. It is definitely true officers have protections that most people do not. That's state law. But just in closing, I think there's a really serious misunderstanding by this group that OPD doesn't support some kind of civilian oversight. It just has to be, it has to be very carefully laid out. We must comply with the settlement agreement. I think everything Chris Shannon said, it is an absolute concern, but it's not overwhelming. These things can be addressed. But it isn't there. I don't see any savings at all. It is going to be new money. It's just, it's a balancing act. Do you want to spend all the extra money to do it completely with CPRB? But it's certainly possible, but it's going to take a long time. NSA compliance is key, and we want to institutionalize those policies and procedures. We didn't work for the last 7 years at OPD or with Mr. Shannon, Mr. Burris, the IMT, and a lot of other people involved to somehow now undermine or compromise all those efforts. It is critical that if anyone here calls and wants to make a complaint at 2 in the morning on a Friday morning or Saturday morning, they can't wait for Monday. OPD, for example, will have to begin that investigation. So that's one way to overcome the problem of no one being readily available at CPRB off hours. So that's just one example of a way to overcome that problem. And we have a lot of very intelligent, dedicated people at OPD who can work to help do this. I was not involved in the previous meetings. I don't know what happened. But the report that's in here that I read, I can't support it because it doesn't really say how we're going to do this. But I think moving forward, you could direct us to figure out how we're actually going to do it. What are the real costs? Because I don't believe there's any savings at all. It's all going to be new money.
But I think that's probably the way I would like to proceed, Chief, in doing just what you just indicated. But Councilman LaQuan has a question for you, and then Ms. Nadine.
I have two questions. One is, if you see some role for any kind of internal affairs, even if we send most of this through the CPRB?
I was talking to Joy Six earlier. She said San Francisco PD has an approach where their IAB reviews, I don't know, all the cases or some of the cases. I would still, if nothing else, than just to make sure we've correctly institutionalized all of the reforms, I think every case at the CPRB would need to be reviewed kind of in an auditing mode.
Should have to be still a small IAD within...
Right. At the end of the day, could be a year or two from now after CPRB is staffed up, if that's what you choose to do, and they're trained, and the court is happy with it. I can tell you, Judge Henderson will keep a very close eye on this, and instead of saying, okay, the way you had IAD was fine, you complied, I guarantee you this would now be extended, at least over internal affairs. It would have to. And because internal affairs runs into so many other things, like uses of force, various election processes that we have that are reviewed, but also IAD does pitches motions. They just do all kinds of stuff over internal affairs. Also involves shootings. I would not suggest that CPRB do that. I would want to keep that in-house because that's such a critical investigation. But yeah, I think there's still going to be a role for IAD, but that role is really going to be determined by your direction. If you really want to see all Class 2s and all Class 1s, so not so serious and very serious allegations of misconduct investigated by CPRB, then they're going to become very, very large. All of the processes that we currently have in place to accept complaints, investigate complaints, the review process is very challenging sometimes. All of that would have to go to CPRB, and it will take a while. I mean, we really started this process in IAD back in 2005. We really didn't implement the reforms, as Jim will tell you, effectively, probably, I want to say, until early last year, is when I really think we began to see the fruits of all those years of putting these new policies in place and training, and it's ongoing. It doesn't stop. So it would be a very arduous task, but can it be done? Yes, it can be done. And ultimately, the benefit would be if people do not have confidence in internal affairs, which I will say again, I think does a fantastic job, but that's not the issue. If the issue still is that people just don't trust internal affairs, then you have to consider CPRB taking it over. But it will be expensive. It will be a while before the court's going to sign off completely. So those are things to
consider. You know that for sure.
And I guarantee you. Jim Shannon.
He just said they were willing.
Excuse me. Everyone has had those things. So can you just let us have our dialogue? Right.
What I'm saying is the court will retain oversight. That's I don't know if you misunderstood me, Rashida. I've talked to Jim, and Jim knows I support civilian oversight. I've told Rashida the same thing. So don't misunderstand. What I'm saying is the court would have to approve. Because the IMT, or the eyes and ears of the court, and by the way, they probably will not be here for this if this happens. They've already suggested they will be moving on. So it would be some kind of new oversight process. But make no mistake, there would be oversight. And that's no reason not to do it. You just have to be aware of that.
Yeah, I'm present here, council members and chair of the Public Safety Committee. Just to answer questions related to the NSA, my name is Rocio Fierro. The NSA, as you know, we've been working on the police reform for almost 7 years now, well, five, but we were extended 2 additional years. It expires, quote unquote, in January of next year. We do, and it is true, that internal affairs and the protocols and the procedures and timelines and discipline and integrity and consistency, all of those issues still remain on the plate, highly scrutinized by the monitors. We still struggle with some of them. But the integrity of the process has been amazingly developed. That doesn't mean that the CPRB cannot do its work. That's not what we're saying. And I think for the most part, what we're saying is we support that system. The question is how we do it, the timeline. If we don't do it right, if we rush into it, if we do not allow for a process that allows us to then consult with the monitors and the judge, it is indeed going to be extended. That is a policy call. But we're here, I think, to just let you know that is a predicament with respect to timeliness of the NSA, but it's not opposing the civilization of this process.
Thank you, Ms.
Nadeau. Thank you. I can't say who was more frustrating, some of the police presentation or some of the public's presentation with respect to their assuming what we think instead of waiting to hear what we think. But that aside, what I think is that we have an IAD that investigates internally generated complaints, a CPRB that investigates civilian complaints, that we have a CPRB investigator on call so that they can start a complaint no matter when it comes in, that we use the Byrne grant to fund the investigators for the CPRB, and that of course it would have to meet NSA compliance. And that my direction would be, as Chairperson Reed said, that we get from staff a more concrete way to transition to the CPRB.
Ms. Green?
I do think that we need to move to civilian investigation, but I do think it's there's a lot of process we need to work through. However, I have to say, I was so offended by the attitude of a number of the speakers who completely stereotype all police, that the polarization in this community is just unbelievable. And actually, that is one of the reasons why I do think we need civilian review. But the assumption that all police officers are bad or that they don't care about this community is just not true. And one of the experiences that we as council members have had is getting to know a number of police officers and particularly police commanders. And it is very clear to me that they care a lot about the safety of Oakland residents, and that they are here to try to make Oakland a better place. I realize that, you know, mistakes are made. I realize that, you know, that not all interactions with the public are good. I realize that there is sometimes misconduct which needs to be dealt with. But it does not serve anybody to completely stereotype anybody on either side. Just like, you know, people in the community don't want the police to stereotype all young black men in East Oakland. I mean, and similarly, we shouldn't be stereotyping all police officers either. So, I think it is very frustrating, I imagine, for police officers who really have worked very hard on implementing the negotiated settlement agreement and into making internal affairs have very thorough investigations, to have that entire effort be completely discredited and unacknowledged. I'm not saying it's perfect, but we here also hear the other side of the story of the resentment of some officers that feel like they're over-investigated, like every move they make, you know, even a frivolous complaint results in, you know, enormous amounts of time and energy and investigations. And so the polarization here is just, it's really sad. And so I think as a council, our role is to take steps that work to develop trust between the community and the police and better understanding and to reduce this level of polarized feeling. So I do think that having civilian investigation would go a long way, just so that they're to eliminate reasons for distrust. And I think there are working it out and figuring out financially how we're going to transition from the system we've got to a civilian-based system is going to be hard, particularly in our budget-challenged times. And I'm actually interested in what the proposal Ms. Nagel made, and Mr. Reed, I want to hear what you have to say. But I do have a lot of questions for the police department as well as the proponents of the new system about exactly how much money we're spending on IAB now. Exactly. And so that, you know, we can really kind of crunch these numbers and see what the savings would be. I do want to comment that the idea that by civilianizing we would save money, some people forget that the immediate result is that we need to come up with extra money to hire the police officers, to hire civilian investigators, because of course we're not going to be laying off police officers. But what we might experience over, you know, several years is some savings, because we could refrain from hiring as many new police officers. So what we would do is, you know, have some attrition so that, you know, we say get down to the 803. Well, I mean, in one way or the other, eventually we would be trying to use our officers on investigating crimes. So, Ms. Reed,
I mean, the chief said that there's a way for us to get there, and it's going to take some time. I mean, there needs to be a comprehensive plan, a process that's laid out that gives us a clear path to how we get to where we want to get, where it makes sense and doesn't impede on our ability to move forward and bring about a resolution to the NSA. And so maybe it's a question of the chief, OPD, and the mayor's task force putting together that plan and bring it back to us, because certainly there's going to be a difficulty in how we find the funding to pay for what this plan ultimately is going to result. And I mean, I fully want to understand if there's any cost savings. And so, I mean, for me, if the chief wants to take on that responsibility with Rashida and others to kind of put that plan together and bring it back to us. And then after we see the plan and see if it makes sense, then begin to explore what the options are of coming up and funding this plan.
Mr. Reed, the only concern I have about that is that we might miss the Burn Grant opportunity. And you know, certainly the refining of it can happen after the grant application, but I don't want to miss out on that opportunity to look for that as a funding mechanism. We didn't get any... where is he?
Can I ask this question, Chief? I mean, is there going to be other funding opportunities that if this plan that you and the others work out and it's one that OPD buys into and Rashida, the mayor's task force, buy into and you bring it back to us, is there a potential other funding sources that we don't have to rely on this Burns grant?
Well, not that I'm aware of, but we haven't looked either. But my concern with any kind of grant option is grants expire.
Right.
And so if we go to a CPRB option, it's going to be very difficult to then revert back if funds run out. We then have to have officers doing it. If for example, there's no more money for the civilian part of it, I mean, this really has to be a line item in the general fund. It's got to be a budgeted item. If you rely on grants, grants run out. That would be my concern.
It's my concern as well. We're also relying on the COPS grant for COPS. We're relying on grants for things for periods of time until the financial situation in the world changes, and in addition, the balance that we just talked about before of the transition would require possibly less funding. So I realize it's a one-time money. It could be 3-year one-time money, and I mean that's what I'm not really clear on. That's why I asked what officers, what personnel are being proposed for the formula burn grant, and that should come to us, and that we should be able to give some policy direction as to who those personnel are with this in mind, because we didn't get it in the competitor burn grant. So I think that I share your concern, but we are doing this for many things, just to get us over this hump. And I think that it's important enough to the community that we consider it for this
I think that the only way that we're going to be able to do this to make sure that we don't undermine any of the reforms, and keep in mind, it's not just the NSA. We have very smart practices in place right now as a result of the NSA. So long after the NSA is gone, we still want to have these reforms in place. So I would hope Rashida would agree with that, because that these are reforms that were recommended and eventually ordered by the federal court, but recommended by the plaintiff's attorneys to ensure that we accept complaints in a timely manner, that they're comprehensive, and that they're exceptional investigations, which I think today they are. So it would be a slow process, so you would have to maintain IED staff, and then you would very slowly begin to transition into CPRB, not only as you get staffing, but as they're trained and that the new policies, procedures, and mechanisms are now in place. Because if, for example, you're just going to have a person on call, I know it sounds easy to say that. We thought setting up a hotline would be easy, and we failed that audit. So there's just things that go wrong constantly. So it would be a slow process that would be phased in over what amount of time, I have no idea. But this, I don't know if it was me or someone else, but they were smart in saying, you can't rush into this. But hopefully it was me.
I hate to interrupt you, but I have been on the council for 12 years, and we've talked about civilianizing police services.
Thank
so
you.
It's not a long process. I mean, it's already been a long process.
But to transition completely so IED doesn't do it anymore?
I'm not saying IED won't do it anymore. IED would do internal generated complaints and excess force, so we would keep that. But for the civilian complaints, we would have, that would be my preference. For civilian complaints, we would have.
So you're saying that they, from beginning to end, they would complete it? Not just the intake, but they would complete the investigation, do all the field work, write the report, make the recommendations.
I would like to hear the opinions on your part of why that might not be a good idea, but that was what I was perceiving.
No, I think it's a good idea. I'm just trying to get in my head how comprehensive this is. Because if they're just doing intake and then it's being sent to IA, then you're back to the same problem of not trusting the cops.
No, that was not my plan.
Well, why don't we just, Ms. Quinn, go ahead.
This has been a very interesting evening. Before I say what I think, is I'm sort of confused why the mayor doesn't have a clear position on this. This is his task force. There's disagreement about what's in the task force agreed to or didn't agree to. And quite frankly, the mayor can put, he has the first shot at the budget. So I guess I'm going to ask the city administrator, do you stand behind your report, and are you going to put some transition money into the budget?
Mr. Chairperson, members of the committee.
Mike.
Mr. Chairperson, member of the committee. I haven't reviewed that with Dan Unheim, and at this point, he's taking no position on this.
We know.
Okay. All right. I mean, this is the mayor's task force, and it's strange to not even have agreement on what the task force recommended. But let me say this: we're going to clearly, I believe, make a move towards civilianization. And I don't, Jeff, I understand it may take several years, but I actually want a clear. And this is what I would ask the city administrator. I'd ask the mayor. This is his task force to actually put some positions in to start the transition this year into the proposed budget. If not, we'll have to do it. And I would like it to be something that you, as a police department, help formulate in terms of how the transition is. I believe that there will always be an internal IA, because I think, quite frankly, you have to learn how to police yourself. And I'm like, I'm a kid who was fighting cops as a college student and have a nice lump on my head from police brutality demonstrations, but I also work with and respect a lot of the police on the Oakland Police Force. And, you know, we get to see both sides. We get to see that most officers are actually pretty dedicated. And it is painful to see how polarized the city is. As in the major Wi-Fi, some people think we should only fund police. Some people would not fund police at all. And we can't survive as a city like that. And this is one way, I think, to build trust and to move forward. I mean, we earlier tonight talked about police plans, and to be a priority is to have police in the schools and to talk to young people, and the young people get to know police officers as human beings and to get to know their beat officers. So I would say that I would expect and would ask the mayor to work with the police department and to put in some transition money in his proposed budget for May 5th. And if not, I'd like to hear, work with you, because we will have to do it. And I'd like to see a multiple year plan. And I'd like to hear clearly that you've checked in with the judge on the transition and how long it would be. But I'm not okay for just saying, it's going to take a long time. I actually want, it's going to take me 5 years, it's going to take me 6 years, and this is how we're going to do it, and this is the kind of funding we're going to
do. But I think that's all.
Yeah, but let me just finish. Just one more point.
You just keep talking and talking and talking.
So I promise this is the last point. We have 40, you take 40% of the budget. I can't believe that we can't find one or two positions if we're going to make some commitment towards moving towards this. And that's all I'm going to say now, because it has to be taken up as part of the overall budget.
Ms. Cunningham.
I am more interested in seeing a plan that's pretty bold, that moves more like toward what Ms. Nadel was talking about, so that we're not just adding, you know, one and two and three investigators to the CPE. It's sort of creeping there, because it'll never be robust. That's it'll right. Never be able to do the job. Right. And so I want to see, you know, the city administrator work with, you know, the active people here and put, you know, write up a plan. How are we going to do it? And then bring it back and then we can find the money.
Rashida and Eric and Chief, does it make sense to do that?
Sure.
And then, I mean, we can keep this item in committee and give you guys an opportunity to work on putting that plan together, consult with the mayor, and then bring it back to us, and then let us go from there.
Just a question of clarification. Is this the direction from the committee? Are you giving direction from?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Then that's what we need.
Chief, is that fine with you?
Is it fine with me you're going to give us direction?
I'm just trying to get us to a point where we can all agree upon on how we get from, as you say, that you're not opposed to it, but there is a path that can get us there. And I'm trying to figure out what that path is to get there, and it's going to take you guys and Rashida then coming together and making sure that doesn't impede on the NSA, and then just tell us how do we get from point A to Z and bring it back to us.
Yeah, I have no objections, I've stated. We just have to realize all the things Chris Shannon said are obstacles, but we can work together to overcome those obstacles.
And I think that's what we're asking you.
But
I can answer very briefly as well. I mean, you didn't mention my name. I'd just like to say that when we were working with Chief Tucker in the working group and everybody who rolled in and out over the last year, there was very few disagreements, and we worked very well together, and I think we could do it again.
All right. That makes sense.
So when
that? Yes, can you give us a time, Rocio?
May, June.
Chief?
It's hard for me. I'm sure I won't be the one involved unless we have pretty competent staff in internal affairs. Now we have a command structure there. I can't imagine the chief directing me to do this when there's other people who are involved right now in the processes. So, I mean, I'm reluctant to give a date, especially without talking to Rashid or other involved parties.
Can
we come back with a date? I mean, the next couple of days?
With the burn grant idea in mind so that we don't miss that opportunity.
Thank you.
What is the burn?
Thank you.
It's May the 15th, May the 16th is when the applicant. Okay. It has to be in Washington, D.C., I believe. Yes.
That's 2 weeks.
Yes. So, yeah. That's not going to work. That's why I'm...
That'll
be our second one.
We're gonna have to just pull together a description and work out the details later.
We have enough of it.
So, Chief, can you guys get together with the city administrator and try to figure out?
I'm not so sure coming up with the cost is a problem. I think you just have to know it's not gonna. There's not gonna be savings unless you're laying off costs or not. Not hiring skill to through attrition.
I'm sorry.
There's going to be...
It's not true.
Let's keep some semblance of control.
They're giving you a directive.
So May the 12th or a future committee day? What's the next committee day? May 12th?
May 12th.
What's the one after that?
May 26th.
It's too late.
I think that you can certainly decide whether or not you're going to apply for the burn grant separate from having a total proposal to the council.
Yeah, but we're just talking about coming up with the cost. It wouldn't really be CPRB that apply. OPD wouldn't apply their CPRB personnel. It's not to fund OPD
but
staff.
Can you guys just get together and try to get it back, come back to us by May 12th?
With a dollar amount, is that certainly not with a comprehensive plan, but I think to figure out the dollar cost to get people to CPRB to start this, then I think that's easy. I think they already have those numbers.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, we do.
What is it that you're asking for May 12th? Because they've got, 2 days to actually turn that in. So what is it?
Whoa.
2 days. Yeah. So, well, the burn grant, clearly people just need to go do it. I mean, the CPRB folks and city staff need to just make that application. But for the real... you know, fleshed out, detailed thing. They can't do that by the 26th. I wanted to give it a lot more thought than that. I mean, and plus the city administrator is up to his eyeballs in the budget. How are we going to do it?
The issue for CPRB is understanding everything that they're going to have to do to comply with the policy. And because the number 7 does say they're going to do it in compliance with the NSA, which means compliance with all of our policies.
Can you guys just get together with the city administrator and just figure this out?
Yeah, it wouldn't be the city administrator. It'd be Patrick.
Well.
Yeah, but yeah, we can.
All
sure.
Right. All right.
So.
Sure. I'll be really brief.
Yes, Patrick.
I understand.
Okay.
My understanding with the burn grant is that it's been applied. It's the people that apply has been OPD. So we would be changing the dynamic in terms of who applies for the burn grant. It would be the Citizens Police Review Board, which would be fantastic. We may have missed the deadline. My understanding is that we have. But that's not to say that we can't apply for the following.
We are giving you policy direction to put a piece of the burn grant in for this purpose. That is what our role is, policy direction.
Okay.
Because of the short timeline, staff has done a lot of the policy direction on the grant applications. But we are asking in this circumstance to reverse whatever was done, if possible, and we think it's possible, and revise that grant application and get this in there.
My only one request about the timeline is to, instead of May 12th, I think there was the May.
Can you guys just get together with the state industry?
Sure.
That's all.
Well, we can come with a report.
We can sit here and debate the issue all night, and we're not going to get it where we want to get it.
But please, couldn't include you in theirs. You're not getting the whole grant, probably.
You're not going to get.
I mean, some of the money in the burns is that we're trying to apply that for Comstat, correct, Chief?
Comstat, Crime Lab.
Right. And I don't want the money. I don't want the money taken from Comstat. So can you guys just get together with the city administrator and just figure this out? I would appreciate it.
This place responsible.
Is that okay?
Totally.
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay.
So item 6 will be received and filed for the record, and item 7 will be continued to a future date, and staff will come forward with a rules request.
Correct. Sounds good to me.
Burns grant and some of that other direction.
Sounds good to me. All right. It is open for.
No, I think that
would be great. So just a clarification, that takes care of the grant. So I'd like to see if they can come up with a plan that if they come up with it, either committee or straight to council as part of the budget for next year. I want to see if we can get some steps, some progress, some staffing accomplished for the next 2 year budget.
And can somebody just check to make sure that the mayor's on the same page with the actions that we just took this evening?